7DGS might be going in storm mode here at some point. I think Michael Calhoun's lost it. 36 miles an hour in storm mode. Yeah. Are you kidding? Are you seeing the trees out there?
I can't say I agree with his judgment on this one.
No. It's always cool when people do things for the show and someone put together an AI-generated theme song for Wheeler.
Yeah.
We're trying to figure out if we can post it because I think people would enjoy it. You have to listen to it a few times just to get the lyrics
because
they're so complicated, as is Wheeler.
It fits.
But here's what it sounds like.
Let's go! Wheels on the radio! Yes, my man! Blue Camaro puts a shade, perks on his nose.
Boom.
We're probably about 2 months away from AI killing all of us, or like,
might as well
check
enjoy
this
it.
Out.
Yeah, it's about to take all of our jobs.
Guys, like, let's teach it some stuff about us.
It wrote a song about Wheeler.
We're like the freaking sports machine.
AI knows I wear casual clothes. It's going to find me.
Speaking of cool listeners, listener Jody sent us little notes and really, really, really sweet. So thank you. I have it in my hand. I read it, meant a lot. Very cool.
Isn't that nice?
Yes.
Just she's
listeners
been listening
cool.
since like year 9, and she says her son thinks she talks about me too much, but we've shared a lot of life together, even though we've not met. So that's very cool.
Yes, very nice.
And they're very cute little cards.
Yes, they are. Very nice. Yeah. Speaking of, like, I've always. I don't know. It's an overused term to say that the show's like Seinfeld, the show about nothing, just a group of friends. But the show has always been seen through my eyes, but really reflecting things that my generation's going through. And my generation now, you know, at some point you're all the sandwich generation when you have, you know, I have Phoebe at KU and I have my mom in a nursing home. And so many of you are going through that. And it's so difficult. I went through with my dad back in the late 90s. He passed away in a nursing home in 2002. But the rest of my family did the heavy lifting on that. It was in Illinois. I was over here and kids were, you know, little. But getting both barrels of it now. And it's just so difficult. And those of you who have or have had someone in a facility. And my mom's cognition is sort of the perfect storm right now where she is out of it enough that she's thinking and saying some crazy things which are causing her upset, yet she knows enough and she's with it enough that she's also having real upset. And, you know, fortunately, I was able to get her into a place that's pretty near my home. And so went by this morning, go by again this evening after the show. But let's say that I stay 2 hours each time. That leaves 20 hours of the day for her to fill. And it's not, I mean, it's a great place. I'm very happy with the place. It's a lovely place. The people are very nice. But she's coming from a hospital setting at MOBAP. And I became really, in the space of a week, pretty close with the people there who were taking care of her. And at a hospital, it's lots of bells and whistles and ding, ding, and let's go in and let's check, and how are you feeling? And it was annoying my mom, but I think she's kind of missing it now. Mm-hmm. Because in rehab, the nurses are there, there's a nurse's station, doctor's going to make rounds, but other than meals, it's like, okay. And my mom is coming off of hip surgery, so she can't go out and watch the Cardinal game with people or play bingo, and it's a tough time. Mm-hmm. And I don't say that to get sympathy. I just say it like, I get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those of you who have gone through it, I get it.
Or are, you know, right now with you, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tough. Stairway to Kevin?
All right, so let's stick on a similar vein, I mean, talking about where people are and generations and things along those lines, because we know that a lot of the generational differences get blown up into something stupid, right? It's X versus Z, or it's the boomers versus millennials, whatever. But instead of that, what's interesting is looking at behavioral differences. And there was a psychologist recently who was looking at the younger generations now and essentially looking at kids since 2010. And it was a broader study than the thing that I'm going to bring up. But the thing that I'm going to bring up to me is an interesting part of that. So prior to 2010, teenage boys were by far the most likely group of human beings to suffer broken bones. Because teenage boys are running around, you're doing dumb things, you're playing sports, you're, you know, like the things, that, I mean, forget it's playing sports. I broke my arm playing wiffle ball with my friends because I had to climb the fence to get a home run ball, right? Like, things like that are just the norm.
Yeah.
And now, looking at it now, so we're not that far down the road from 2010, right? And we're only 14 years beyond that. Since 2010, that group, the teenage boys, is actually less likely to break a bone than their dads or their grandfathers.
Because they're playing video games.
Because they're not out doing those things, right? And I'm not trying to make a judgment about good or bad, because obviously it's just different, right? I mean,
I wish they'd break more bones.
I mean, right. The argument is not go break more bones, right? The argument is what?
My day, we all broke our bones.
It's how much the lifestyle has changed in a pretty short amount of time. So compare our childhood to that of our dads.
Right.
Mine was probably pretty close to my dad's, although his was way wilder than mine because he was one of 10 and he'd just get lost in the shuffle. Where I was one of 2 at the time, I didn't get lost in the shuffle, but the style of life, and I would say probably from early grade school on, like kindergarten, first, second grade on, was we were pretty much free range. You go out to play for the day, you come back maybe for lunch, but you come back for dinner, and then you're basically, right after that, you're back outside again, and then when it's dark, you're in for the night. And even in high school or teenage years, you know, starting in junior high, 12, 13, 14, 15, you're just off doing your thing on a summer day when there's no school. And nobody knew where you were. You had no phone, so you had no means of doing that. I don't know if it's better. It's certainly not better to break more bones. But that breaking of bones is kind of symbolic, wouldn't you say, of learning lessons the hard way. And I find it interesting as someone who's coaching kids that were born around that time now. And some of them don't have the quote-unquote broken bones. And I don't mean physically. I mean, like, they didn't learn things the hard way. And it's not a judgment. It's just an interesting dynamic we have to navigate. Because you're going to have to learn things.
Yeah.
How? So I guess, are you going to learn those harder lessons later? Are you not going to learn them at all? And it's just going to change the way the world is just being experienced in a different way.
Yeah.
I just find it fascinating to look at. And that's a pretty big change in a pretty small. I know that that had gradually been happening, right?
And I'm fascinated with what comes next.
Right.
Like, I can look at my mom and dad and think that they were good parents, but that whole generation, for my liking, was a little bit whippy. And then I rebelled against that and never touched my kids. I think I was a good dad, but they make fun of me for being such a soft dad. Like, I was definitely a pushover. That's one generation. That's just me saying, oh, I'm going to do that differently than my parents did it. So, you know, that my kids will do the same thing. And so it doesn't take 100 years to change things. It only takes one generation. And my kids say, like, oh, your grandkids are going to get it because you were so soft on us. We're going to be such hard asses. Yeah, maybe. Maybe, maybe not.
But will they know how to be?
Yeah.
Our parents knew how to be.
Yeah.
Right?
They did.
And what they experienced was harder than what came before them was harder than
and
what.
I didn't know how to be a softie.
Right.
And still be a good parent.
Right.
I had to make it up as I was going because I knew that being whippy was not an option for me.
Right.
I wasn't going to do it. But I also didn't just want to be, I didn't want to raise a couple of monsters.
It's just an interesting balance because the fact that that's happening, right? Like this transition. And again, it was a larger study about the mental health of teenagers and what's changed and why it's changed. And the person doing that study linked a lot of it to just being on social media too much. So that's and again, it's a different conversation than the one I'm choosing to get into, but that is happening on our watch. Those are kids. Those are kids of Gen X and millennial parents.
They're doing what their parents tell them to do.
Right. Or their parents are
parameters they set
and what parents are allowing.
Yeah.
I did not, and I'm guilty of this. I did not let my kid have the day-to-day freedom that I had as a kid.
Same.
And I didn't. I know, but there also wasn't a lot of push to it either. There wasn't a push against, like, hey, why aren't you letting me do this? Because she didn't know any different. Yeah. And her friends really didn't know any different. So things were more structured and organized. And if it wasn't happening like on your immediate block, you were being driven.
I also attribute to the media because I apologize. I can't remember the little girl's name who was kidnapped, but it was around the time that Nick was little.
Okay.
And it was like what's the show, the Unsolved Mysteries or whatever it was, the guy whose son, Adam.
America's Most Wanted.
There you go. That show became big. Before that, I mean, like, I got to talk about Stranger Danger.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I told the story. We were confronted by a pedophile who had literal candy in his car and tried to get us to get in his car with him. So we knew about that stuff.
Yeah.
But our parents didn't belabor it. It was simply like, don't ever get in someone's car. If someone says they're looking for their dog, they're not. They're trying to take you somewhere. Okay, I only need to hear that one time. With Nick, and I'll be the first to admit it, him being a boy made me more comfortable. Like, oh yeah, you and your buddies can go out and jackass around. It's fine. Just be home by blah, blah, blah. I didn't let him do what I did, but I let him do more than Phoebe. By the time Phoebe came along and I was 39, 40 years old, well, now I have a totally different view on life. And as far as I'm concerned, there are murderers, pedophiles, and serial killers everywhere, and they're not going to get in my little girl. And it was a disservice because she didn't get to have the kind of fun a kid, every human deserves to have.
Well, but even if you could have overcome those fears and like, okay, Phoebe, walk home from school, walk home, you know, let's say the school is 2 miles away and you're 7, go ahead and walk. You see stories like that on the news when parents let it happen and then they get the police called on them or just they're basically like shunned from society. People are like, you can't do that anymore. Yeah. We just don't do that anymore.
That's a great point because I know that Phoebe is a good bit younger than my daughter. She's Nick's age, basically, a little bit younger, a year or two younger. But, like, that wasn't the thought process for me wasn't, if I let her do this, she's going to get kidnapped, or I'm worried about this stuff. Nobody else was doing it, so it never came up.
Right.
Like, it's not just your decision or mine, because your kid's not going to be the only one free-range playing.
Yeah.
You got to have other kids doing that, and it just wasn't happening. Everything started getting more organized, and I don't know that there's an easy, I don't even know that it needs to be turned around, but it does need to be adjusted for, right?
Yeah.
Like, we need to be able to start teaching some of those lessons about independence.
I have lived in a couple of neighborhoods with my kids now, and I'm pretty sure this is a true statement. I don't think it's an exaggeration. I have no memory of ever seeing a pickup game in a sandlot. I don't remember it. My kids played sports, but it was all organized. We had Quarry League, but for every Quarry League game, we played 10 in the field.
Yeah.
And I can't remember seeing kids play in the field at all. 26 DGS. Speaking of generations, I know that this generation has like AI, video games, hyper-realistic.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Three-dimensional blah, blah. Today on TikTok, I saw a throwback scene from the old original Incredible Hulk with Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno. And for some reason, the Hulk was stuck in a jail cell with a gorilla. And they started throwing hands. Friggin' awesome!
Oh, yeah. What else are you going to do?
Kidding me? I'll take that over 3D glasses anytime.
Well, imagine you could go into a VR setting and watch that episode.
Don't even get me going.
That's the ultimate.
And the Hulk kicked the gorilla's ass so bad, the gorilla went and locked himself in a different jail cell.
Do you remember when they fought Bigfoot?
Remember.
Do you remember when the $6 million man did that?
Dude, it was my life.
He was like, who are you talking to?
That's when my life peaked. It's all been downhill since Bigfoot and $6 million man became friends.
Yeah, why is Bigfoot picking fights with everybody?
It is the foot.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to fight the biggest guy in the block.
Okay.
Especially the bionic man.
I remember having to hide that I was crying. Swear to God.
In the Bigfoot episode?
Yes. Yes. Like Steve Austin and Bigfoot, they're just going at it.
Wasn't Bigfoot Andre the Giant?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So like legit
Bigfoot. Then they realized that Bigfoot was being used by aliens and they became friends and fought against them. And they're like, you crying, boy? I'm like, you're crying.
You're crying when they're fighting. Like, I don't want this for you.
70s and 80s TV was so dumb.
This is the best. Total best. You're crying, old man. You're crying because you're in World War II. That's why. No one's crying. 336 DGS. It is crap that we're not in storm mode right now.
Look at that tree blowing.
This place is a prison.
Look at that. It's absurd. The branches are moving, like literally moving.
Nothing makes sense anymore.
It's dark out there. It's obviously going to rain at any second.
Michael is punishing us for something. That's the only answer.
I just felt a raindrop.
It's raining in the studio. The whole ceiling just collapsed.
Yeah, way to go, Michael Calhoun. It's raining in the studio. Dave Murray's with us. Hello, Dave.
Come on, Michael. Let's do it. Let's go into Storm Watch. Let's get these guys home.
Live for this.
I know.
Water's on in 10 minutes.
Dave Murray should have the executive authority to send us into Storm
Watch. I used to have that. I don't think I have that at KMOX, though.
Let's find out.
Yeah, we can always try.
Between the two of us, they're not going to fire both of us. So maybe at worst, they fire Andrew. We can live with that. So how bad is it out there, Dave?
All right. It's there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of moving pieces. Let's just focus on what's going on right now. There is a severe thunderstorm warning, basically, in Illinois at this stage of the game. The storm line, and it's losing some intensity. It's about Greenfield in Illinois, down through Jerseyville, Otterville, down to Grafton. It has just kind of pulled away from O'Fallon. It's not really going to get St. Charles. So that stuff's all moving off to the northeast and losing a little bit of punch. There is another severe thunderstorm warning to our south. That batch is approaching Hillsboro and DeSoto and eventually will work its way to Barnhart, Peavely, and Festus. That may, if it holds together, just nick South St. Louis City. It's going to be a close, close call. Now, we have two watches in effect. The tornado watch, which is basically out to our north and northwest, that's going to get dropped here really soon. It hasn't yet, but it should get dropped really soon. So it's not really impacting anybody anymore. And then a severe thunderstorm watch for the St. Louis area deep into central portions of Illinois. It's till 9 o'clock tonight. That's deceiving for us because that watch will get dropped here no later than 7 o'clock in the evening as everything moves off. So remember, when a watch is issued, it's a big area. It has to start somewhere and it has to end somewhere. And we're kind of on the western edge of that. So scattered showers and thunderstorms, some strong. But again, I think this system is losing a little intensity as we go into the evening. By 7 o'clock here in St. Louis, it's done. It's gone. Clearing skies late tonight. It stays windy. This is not a cold front coming through. This is actually a warm front lifting to our north. So we're 65 for the overnight low. The whole storm has not come through yet. Mm. You won't know it come Wednesday. Wednesday is sunny. It's still windy, still mild to warm, 79, 80 degrees. Clear skies Wednesday night, 52. The parent low pressure system and the cold front coming through on Thursday and Thursday evening, a mix of clouds and sunshine, real changeable sky on Thursday with developing scattered strong thunderstorms possible. In the afternoon on Thursday, it's windy and still warm, 80 degrees. Scattered showers and thunderstorms Thursday night. Winds will whip around to the northwest and will cool back to 48 degrees. Friday, sunny, 62 for the high. That will actually kind of seem chilly compared to the last several days. The weekend is dry, lots of sunshine, but it's cool. Saturday, 58. Sunday, 63. So between now and, let's say, about 7 o'clock tonight, that's the main time, but the storms are losing some punch. Yes, there's going to be some heavy downpours of rain. There'll be strong, gusty winds. Can't help that because it's windy already. Could be some pockets of some small hail, some lightning around, and once the storm hits you, the rain hits you, you'll see a cool back in temperature of about 10 to 15 degrees. But this is not a widespread severe weather outbreak for us. It's just kind of the tail end of some action, which is why Michael and I don't have to worry about it.
All right. Well, it's a giant disappointment to me. So,
Hey, you're off tomorrow. Come on.
I swear, I didn't know. The very first time I went into storm mode, I thought you guys were jacking with me. I didn't know that was a real thing. And suddenly Michael Calhoun has like a King Vitamin hat on and he's And I'm like, what is going on?
Well, he had that. I had my wizard's hat on. So.
And everyone's like, it's storm mode. I'm like, okay.
The weather wizard.
Now I'm all in. Headlines, Rich.
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Good news for President Biden. His approval rating is ticking up. A new poll from the Financial Times claims it's up to 43%. That's a 4-point increase from the same poll in March. And that's the commentary on that.
How about that?
How about that?
Interesting.
The poll?
The polls do this. Like, they change and we act like the change is meaningful, or as if it's not just asking different people.
Y'all think he's going to win?
I have no idea.
I know.
Yeah, it's too far out.
And I've also never been less invested in the presidential election. Like, since I've started paying attention to politics, I just feel like I can only cast my vote.
And it's kind of along for the ride.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, I'm going to vote in November. Pretty good idea of who I'm voting for.
It's so dynamic. That's the thing, is you have this rematch that seemingly no one wants. You have Donald Trump being the first former president facing criminal charges right now, picking a jury. Possibly more trials to come before. There are just so many moving parts. Those polls, I mean, I find them interesting, but I agree with you guys. Like, they could be off. They could be off by 10-15%. Points.
Easy.
Yeah.
Well, it's just exhausting, and everyone has fatigue from talking about these same two people for the last,
900
years.
Yeah.
Yes. It's just
it's like
much.
The cage match nobody wants to see.
Exactly.
It's like these guys were doing that when Charlemagne was in power. Yeah.
One more Trump story here. RFK says he was asked to be Trump's VP. He wrote on X yesterday, "President Trump calls me an ultra-left radical, but I'm so liberal that his emissaries asked me to be his VP. I respectfully decline the offer. I'm against President Trump, and President Biden can't win." You guys think Trump's camp actually approached? I kind of don't believe anything that RFK says.
I mean... I wonder
why. Janice is going to interview him next week.
Oh. For real?
Yeah, for real.
That's cool.
Can I submit some questions?
If there's anything real interesting, I'll send the audio to you.
Yeah, that'd be
great. Okay, sounds good,
Dave.
That'd
be great.
TikTok is launching an Instagram competitor. Some users trying to share photos on the TikTok app recently reported seeing a pop-up notification informing them that their images could be shared on TikTok Notes, a new platform slated to be coming soon. Man, I just feel like Instagram has been on top for about 10 years now. Mm-hmm. And if TikTok launches a photo sharing app, I just feel like all the kids are going to gravitate towards that.
What could eventually take TikTok down?
A cooler app. I mean,
sorry. Yeah, the government. The government physically wrenching it out of our hands. I mean,
surely though, there will be another concept that we just can't even imagine what it is yet. But I mean, I remember when Snapchat came out, it was like, oh my goodness, it's a photo sharing app, and then the photos go away, and it's a messaging app. This is the coolest thing ever. And then just new things come out all the time. So something will eventually.
You know what
knock
I
TikTok
don't like
down.
About TikTok? That it knows me so well.
Yeah.
I don't like looking in the TikTok mirror where you're scrolling and you're like, boobs, ancient aliens, boobs,
Bigfoot,
ancient boobs.
That's Dave's life.
You're like, pshaw, TikTok.
A record number of Americans aren't sleeping well, according to a Gallup survey. A majority of American adults report not getting enough sleep. That's the first in the survey's history. Many struggling with sleep also report feeling frequently stressed.
I was going to say, there's got to be something that ties into that.
I've been having the weirdest sleep thing where I've been waking up at exactly like 4:40 a.m. every morning.
I'm kind of the same.
For like a week and a half, 2 weeks now. And it's really weird.
Wait, you're all waking up at 4:40 regularly?
I mean, a set time. Oh, there is a set time I just...
Yeah. I'm like, is there something happening?
Mine's pretty close to that, though. I'm like between 4 and 5.
I can't figure it out. And it's like every morning I wake up and I'm like, I'm sure it's going to be. And then I click the phone and it says 4:40 or whatever. Wow. It's so weird.
That's like Dave's fourth bathroom trip.
If Dave's lucky.
Have any of you guys seen Dream Scenario with Nicolas Cage?
Yes, it's really good.
It's really good.
Did you watch it?
I did, yeah. It's basically this guy just keeps showing up in everyone's dreams.
Didn't it really bother you?
Well, because they do too good of a job of portraying what a dream is like. And there's just so many like disturbing moments, but not, you know, so much that I'm like, don't watch the movie.
By the end of it, I was really bothered by Nicolas Cage's character.
Hmm.
Like, it really affected me. Yeah, it's good. It's a good movie.
There's a
was
really
he making
funny
the
part.
Nick Cage face?
One of them. Yeah.
I can't wait to go to break and because it's a spoiler alert and also inappropriate, but I want to talk about this funny part of the movie with you.
No.
Okay, one more story here. The Rust armorer, Hannah Gutierrez Reed, was sentenced to 18 months in prison for the death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins. Alec Baldwin goes on trial in July. Prior to her sentencing, prosecutors said that Gutierrez Reed showed no remorse for the death of Helena Hutchins during recorded phone conversations from jail. She called the jurors who convicted her idiots and expletives. She also said that witnesses lied and the judge was paid off.
Hmm.
I wonder where she heard those kinds of crazy things.
That's just kind of par for the course whenever you get in trouble nowadays.
Yeah, it's like the new thing, right?
I don't think that bodes well for Alec Baldwin. I mean, I know that she was more proximate, that she was the armorer.
Right.
But he was the one in charge and he was her boss. And if she's doing actual time, it's hard to imagine Alec Baldwin actually going to prison, but maybe so. We'll see. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
You got it.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we have Steve Ellman and Braxton Payne, two of our favorites here for the Think Tank. I have a pretty big, sweeping question to start with for the guys. 8:15 a.m. is the most stressful time of day for humans.
8:15?
8:15 in the morning.
Oh, in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm very lucky because I don't relate with that.
I miss that one every day.
I agree. For me, once the day starts, I'm way better. And I get up pretty early these days. I'm up usually by 6. But like my waking up at 4, maybe 5, that's when the demons come calling. That's when the worrying starts.
Hmm.
Once I get up and smell the coffee brewing, even if I'm facing something hard, like with my mom right now, I feel like, okay, I'm in the game. I'm in the ring. I can throw some punches. But when you're just laying there at night, kind of helplessly, sometimes hopelessly, that's the worst time for me.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that time resonates with so many people because that's when a lot of people are stuck in traffic and anticipating the days ahead
on your way to work. Yeah.
Dreading. That's one good thing. I never dread. I don't always want to do my job, but I never dread it.
Right.
Like most jobs I've had, and especially when I was an attorney, when you would really, really dread it. That's pretty sweet.